Precious and holy Father, we bow our hearts before you, thanking you for what you have given us in your precious Son, Lord. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. And what has been given to us in the fullness of Jesus Christ is an oath that you have sworn in the blood of the Lamb, an oath that the Holy Spirit is here to reveal to us, to reveal into our inward parts. We want to thank you and bless you for the reality of the prophetic that is our inheritance and our possession. The prophetic that stands in the fullness of Jesus Christ. The prophetic, O God, that truly we are called to inherit and take possession of through the life that you have given us. As we walk into the year 2005, Lord, we know that there is a rich inheritance that you have made available to us, Lord. Enable us to see, enable us to hear, enable us, O God, not to be shaken, Lord. Enable us to know with the confidence that comes in the substance of Christ's fullness. Enable us to know with the love that truly, O God, comes from you, Lord. Enable us to know that you are with us at all times, Lord. That you can neither leave us, neither can you forsake us, Lord. Because you are always there, Father. So we pray that you will bless us so that we will become a rich inheritance, O God, in you, Father. An inheritance, O God, that will manifest, O God, the abundance of God to the nations, Lord. We pray that we will unfold as a blessing, Father. Let everything that flows out of us be of the spirit and life of Jesus. Let everything that is expressed from us be an expression in his faith and his love. Let everything that is manifested in us be manifested by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk about the essence of the prophetic. The Bible that you have in your hand is essentially a prophetic document, a document of the intents of God's heart. In the book of Psalms 138, verse 2, in the New American Standard, it is written at the end of verse 2 that God has magnified his word according to all of his name. God has magnified his word according to all of his name. And that is the reality of the prophetic. That means there is a fulfillment potential that is in everything that is in the scriptures that stands in accordance with who God is and with all that God is. That in the testimony of Jesus, God has glorified his word according to all of his name. And that word has been made available to the sons of God so that they will receive that word, realize that word, express that word, and become the head and not the tail. That they will become a royal priesthood, that they will truly unveil as a prophetic people. Today we want to talk about the prophetic essence. If we only had the Old Testament in our hands, you will have found that the Old Testament would be a closed book. It requires the New Testament revelation of Jesus Christ for the Old Testament to have life. In our New Year message, right, we saw so many passages of Scripture in the Old Testament being prophetically spoken over our lives in and by and through the witness and testimony of Jesus. It is the witness and testimony of Jesus that makes us a people of promise, that makes us a people who have potential, the potentials of fulfillment in each one of our lives. The Christian life is the discovery of all that God has for you. The Christian life is the discovery of what you can realize from God and express through your life. And it is an amazing reality that you and I are called to receive, to realize, and to communicate through our lives. But what is the essence of the prophetic? What is the essence of the prophetic? We started with this topic of the prophetic a couple of weeks ago. And we talked basically out of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15. And this is what it reads. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. The word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it. So the intent of God's word is entirely prophetic. That simple statement says that the word has the capacity to be alive in your heart and in your mouth. That what your mouth speaks, it speaks in the abundance of your heart. And if your heart has the abundance of the word, your mouth can speak forth powerful realities through prayer, through the proclamation of God's intentions, God's will. And there is a whole universe of reality that you can speak into being because God spoke creation into being. God spoke creation into being. And we are His sons. We are designed to be His sons. We are designed to see beyond what surrounds us. We are designed to see beyond what stands in the natural. We are designed to see beyond all that is shaking in the world. The tsunami that we have seen in our part of the world recently tells us that we need to see beyond what is happening around us. The world around us is shaking, but we need to see beyond it, because if we don't see beyond it, then all we will see is death and destruction. See, the capacity to bring forth life is in the Church of Jesus Christ. The capacity to bring forth life in the situations and circumstances of man rests entirely with the Church of Jesus Christ. And the church is required to speak forth what the Scripture speaks forth from the heart of God. So this reality of the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. And so verse 15 says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity." And life and prosperity is a choice. And death and adversity. The denial of the word of God will bring death and adversity experientially. The response to the word of God will bring life and prosperity experientially. Peter explains this by saying to us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 in the New King James Bible. This is what it reads. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, and all of us can speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak as the oracles of God. This is the prophetic. That you have the capacity to manifest the oracles of God. How is this going to come forth? We read from Deuteronomy that your mouth speaks out of the abundance that your heart has taken possession of. The word that is in your heart is manifested through the mouth that releases that word. The mouth gives expression to that word. It gives expression to that word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So God is describing His word, His prophetic word, as a morning star. Revelation chapter 22 verse 16 describes Jesus Christ as the bright morning star. So the prophetic word is not merely words in the Scripture. It is word that is tied to the person of Jesus Christ. And it's very important to understand that. The reality of the word that manifests as a morning star is the reality of the word that belongs entirely to the fullness of Jesus Christ. This is one of the reasons why, from many years ago when I started ministry, I knew that whatever God is going to give the Church of Jesus Christ, it is entirely going to be out of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And many people find it very uncomfortable when you talk about the fullness of Jesus Christ, because the human mind cannot grasp it. The fullness of Jesus Christ is a spiritual mystery. Only the human heart can realize it. As this word says, the word is put in your heart, and you are called to pay attention to that word so that that word will manifest its light And that light will grow until it becomes a morning star in your heart. God is speaking of a spiritual reality. He's telling us how powerful the reality of the spiritual is. A star is like the sun that we see in the sky. And God is describing the prophetic that is in the Word of God in dimensions that your mind and my mind cannot comprehend. We don't have the capacity in our minds to comprehend something that can manifest in the dimensions of the sun. Now, this is one of the reasons why in Isaiah chapter 60, when we read that this morning, right, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." The light has come. The Lord is willing to shine over you. The Lord is willing to manifest His light within you. And if that light is seen, the nations will come to that light, because it is a light that they don't possess, because all they see is darkness. They're looking for a people who will see the light and be able to express that light through their lives. We need to have the courage and the strength that God has given us in the Lion and the Lamb in order to be able to bring forth this reality. I believe that global revival has the intention of bringing forth the word that will manifest the power of God in an unshakable reality that will cause the nations to bow before the name of Jesus. Because Jesus Christ alone is the word. It is only in Jesus Christ, it is only in the testimony of Jesus Christ that the word of God has been glorified according to all of His name. And Ephesians says that in the name of Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, there is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe in Him. So we link into this power that is described as the surpassing greatness of God's power that has been released in Jesus Christ. And it's available to our hearts. Today, if we look at the Christian world, you will find that so much of the prophetic, so much of the word that is spoken by so many prophets is not manifesting what God wants to manifest. Some may even look at the prophetic as the prophetic is in shambles. And there's a reason for that. And the reason for that comes to what we are going to talk about today. The unwillingness to realize that which is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And the reason why that is so is because man cannot put his finger on what is the fullness of Jesus Christ. The intellect of man, the ability to understand Greek and Hebrew, cannot put the finger on the fullness of Jesus Christ. Because the fullness of Jesus Christ is entirely a mystery that God alone and God the Father alone can manifest as a revelation into human hearts. Man finds it very uncomfortable to give God everything. Man finds it very uncomfortable when he is not in control of his ministry. Man finds it very uncomfortable when he is not in control of what he is called to become. But God is showing that if our hearts are not built in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the prophetic will always manifest poisoned waters. It happened in the nation of Israel. It happened in the nation of Israel, and it's happening to us today. In fact, the vast majority of those who were called prophets in the nation of Israel fell. They were prophesying. If you go back and read in the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel, you will find that they were prophesying out of their own imaginations. They were seeing dreams that they wanted to see. They were seeing visions that they wanted to see. They were not hearing what God wanted to say. They were not hearing what God was trying to bring forth. They were just interested in doing what they wanted to do. It's a story of mankind. Man wants to do what he wants to do. In the ministry, in the Christian church, we also find that many men and women want to do what they want to do. And God is saying, you need to understand fundamentally that doing your own thing is not going to give you life. That is the history of the entire human race. So you find that people like Jeremiah were just alone, like one voice in the wilderness, crying out, asking people to turn back to the Lord, asking people, right, to do what God was telling them, but they were not interested. They had these prophets who kept prophesying in big communities, right, telling the same thing and each confirming the other's word. It wasn't the word of God that they were confirming, it was what they wanted, what the people wanted to hear. And when disaster struck, it struck like the tsunami. And the nation of Israel was destroyed. A remnant went into Babylon in exile. That was never God's plan. That was never God's plan. So today, as we stand as a church, we need to understand. And all over the world, we find Christians praying for revival. What do we want? A revival like that which came in 1902 in Akuza Street? Where is that revival today? What has happened out of all that came out of that revival? What happened to those churches that have become, that were at the heart of that revival? I've read a survey that less than 2% of Christian Americans read their Bible. That so few pastors even pray. That tells me that we have serious problems in the Christian church. We have a credibility problem amongst ourselves, never mind about the world outside. We have a serious credibility problem. We are guilty of making a Christianity that is make-believe. I think so. That except for countries like China and parts of Africa and parts of South America, so much of the rest of the church is living in a make-believe land, a make-believe gospel. Certainly the Western world is living in a make-believe gospel. A gospel that will pander to their own wealth and their own preferences. The prophetic. And this state of affairs comes back to the heart of what God has in His Word. What is the Word of God based on for the New Covenant? It is based on the fullness of Jesus Christ. It cannot be based on anything else. It is the fullness of Jesus Christ that is to be manifested within us. I want to take you through verses that will reinforce this to you. Okay? So let's start with John chapter 1, verse 16. My favorite passage in the Scriptures. The passage of Scripture that God first gave me as a revelation that captivated my imagination and my understanding of the Scriptures. Because it is the Scripture that tells me that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. John chapter 1 verse 16. I'm reading from the New American Standard, and this is what it reads. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Grace is tied to the fullness of Jesus Christ, and Father, God the Father has ordained that fullness towards every one of us. Every one of us who is born again has access to this fullness of Jesus Christ. But your intellect cannot understand what is the fullness of Jesus Christ. The fullness of Jesus Christ is a nebulous spiritual reality. It is a prophetic reality. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. What do you have through Jesus Christ? His fullness. And God is increasing the mystery by saying that every element of grace and truth is manifested in this nebulous spiritual reality called the fullness of Jesus Christ. God is also saying that this is entirely beyond your intellect and my intellect as well. It is a reality that can only be revealed by God. The law, everyone could understand. The Pharisees took the law and they developed it into their own system of governance. Until God no longer was made alive to the people, but the law replaced God. So the law that was given through Moses was not the answer. But grace and truth through Jesus Christ is the answer. But grace and truth, how do you put your finger on grace and truth? Grace and truth are both nebulous realities. Pilate asked Jesus, "You say the truth, what is this truth? What is this truth? What is this truth that you're talking about? I don't know anything about this truth." So how does God describe truth to us? Through the Spirit and life of Jesus. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. That means the Holy Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Anything generated out of man profits nothing. Please listen to those words. Anything generated out of man, anything that is manifested out of the efforts of man, will profit nothing in the abiding sense. It may profit something in a temporal sense, but in the abiding, it will not manifest anything that is of substance. In the abiding sense, in the eternal sense, in the continuity of human life beyond the grave. You don't want to just live 70 years. You want to live in eternity. That's what the scripture gives us. So it says the words, the rhema that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Since they are his words, they manifest his spirit and his life. And only the Holy Spirit can manifest this to you. So what is he saying here? He's saying that there are realities that only God can open to you. That only God can open to you. Man cannot open it to you. It is something that is sovereign to God and God alone. If you are wise, you will seek the face of this God who alone can give you the secrets of life, the spirit and the life that is of Jesus Christ. No one else can give it to you. No preacher man can give it to you, although God can use preacher men as vessels. But you have to fix your eyes on God and not fix your eyes on the men. So in John chapter 14, he says this. Verse 16. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." That is the Spirit of truth. Why does he call the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth? He's just telling you that all truth comes to you by the Holy Spirit. That this reality that is going to be communicated in the spirit and life of Jesus, only the Holy Spirit can manifest it to you. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. No matter how hard it tries, it cannot receive, because the Spirit is only given through the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God is only made available to us through the blood of the Lamb. It cannot be given in any other way. The Holy Spirit cannot be given any other way. So we come back to the fullness of Jesus Christ. And the fullness of Jesus Christ is a revelation in the spirit and life of Jesus. And that revelation in the spirit and life of Jesus, only the Holy Spirit can manifest to you. And Jesus also says that this reality the Father has to release. It is the Father who gives the Spirit. So you have a picture here, and it's the essence of the prophetic. So what is the prophetic based on? It is based entirely on the Spirit and life of Jesus. It is based entirely on the Spirit and life of Jesus. If you and I are going to be the oracles of God, then everything we say must be of the Spirit and life of Jesus. Otherwise, it cannot be an oracle of God. The very words of God, able to manifest what God wants to manifest. You and I are called to have such a capacity, but such a capacity is entirely defined in the spirit and life of Jesus. So yes, you can see a vision. The devil can also show you a vision. Once you have developed your spirit man, you can imagine all kinds of things. So Jesus said, He who does not come by the door that is of Jesus Christ is a thief and robber. You know that verse, right? He who does not come through the door that is Jesus Christ is a thief and robber. What does the thief and robber do? He steals away from you what God has given you as a heritage. If you've been a Christian for 10 years and you have no joy in your heart, somebody has stolen from you, brother. If you have been if you've been born again for 10 years and all you have in your heart is a sense of futility, somebody has stolen something from you very successfully. And maybe you don't even know it's been stolen from you. So Jesus told us very clearly that He is the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. So let's come back to this fullness of Jesus Christ. The fullness of Jesus Christ is described in the Spirit and life of Jesus. What does the Spirit and life of Jesus describe? The book of Revelation chapter 19 verse 10, the last part says, the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. The Spirit and life of Jesus is an expression of His testimony. And that is the basis of everything that is prophetic. Because only in the Spirit and life of Jesus can the spirit of prophecy be communicated. Can you see that? Otherwise, we will be under the law. And the people who were under the law perished. Not because God didn't love them. Not because God didn't give them great promises. Not because God didn't give them anointings. Not because God didn't give them giftings. Not because God was not willing to be with them. He was willing to forgive them repeatedly. He was willing to send forth prophets repeatedly. So God is talking to us in very clear terms. Everything that is prophetic is meant to bring forth every kind of calling and gifting in the body of Christ. The prophetic is not just for the prophets. The prophetic is for every man, woman, and child in the kingdom of God. To be a pastor is a prophetic reality. To be an evangelist is a prophetic reality. To be an apostle is to be in a prophetic reality. To operate the word of knowledge is a prophetic reality. To pray in tongues is a prophetic reality. To administer the gifts of healing is a prophetic reality. To pray as an intercessor is a prophetic reality. For we do not know how to pray, but the Spirit Himself prays with us with groanings too deep for the human mind to understand. What does that mean? It's talking about the prophetic. God has to teach you how to pray. God has to enable you to pray, because man in himself does not know how to pray. So if you're struggling with prayer, you're not in strange company. The sad part is that many people who pray really don't know how to pray. Some people pray out of sheer willpower. Some people are ministers based on sheer willpower. But God wants us to be at rest in Him. The entire prophetic is built on a Sabbath rest. And the Sabbath rest is a rest that only your heart can know. That Sabbath rest that God opens to your heart is not subject to what happens around you. It stands well and above anything that happens in your situations and circumstances. And when there are shakings in your life, it is always to check, for you to check out the rest that you have in God. Because it is already written in the world that all things in the world will shake. You want to see that? Let's turn to Hebrews. Chapter 12, verse 27. Verse 26, the last part of verse 26, chapter 12 of Hebrews. Yet once more I shake not only the earth but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. In the New American Standard it reads, those things that can be shaken. As of things that are made. That the things which cannot be shaken may remain. That the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, God is telling you, the only thing that cannot be shaken is the kingdom of God. In the book of Luke chapter 17, I think it is in verse 20, 21, 22, round about there. It says that the kingdom of God is within you, it is amongst us, depending on which version of the Bible you read. In the King James, it says that the kingdom of God is within you. In the other translation, it says that the kingdom of God is amongst us. It is we who will not be shaken. Because we possess a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's a mystery again. If you go back to the book of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus says that that there is something called the mystery of the kingdom, or the mysteries of the kingdom. Again, these are things not of the intellect. These are things that can only be made alive to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. I hope you are listening. The realm of the word that stands according to the name of God can only be revealed to a man and a woman through the spirit and life of Jesus. And only the Holy Spirit can talk to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit can talk to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. The spirit and life of Jesus are a communication of the testimony of Jesus. The entire word of God was put to test in the person who is called Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Salvation was entirely described in what Jesus Christ did for us. And it is consecrated as a prophetic reality, declared as the testimony of Jesus. On the basis of the testimony of Jesus, God wants to take this whole book and describe it to you through the spirit and life of Jesus. Are you with me? That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There is no other way. If you're looking for one, it isn't there. You're just wasting your time, you're wasting your life. If you're looking for truth that will set you free, that truth only exists in the testimony of Jesus. It can only be communicated to you in the testimony of Jesus. Please understand this, okay? Let me take you to Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. All of us are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Based on what? Based on the faith and love of Jesus. The faith and love of Jesus described to you in his spirit and his life. Amen? If there is anyone who paid the price, it is John the Baptist. He lived a life entirely dedicated to God. Yet Jesus Christ is here making us understand that there is a difference between what was the righteousness under the law and the righteousness that comes by God. The righteousness that comes by God comes through the testimony of Jesus. That is the prophetic essence. So if you are going to be a prophet of the Lord under the new covenant, everything that you manifest must be of Jesus Christ. Obviously, there are measures of growth. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to do that all at once. It is a growth process. But your focus has to be in the understanding that whatever God gives you, it has to be of the fullness of Jesus Christ. It has to be of His Spirit and His life. You need to pray that in. It is not a question of just getting an anointing. The anointing is just something of spiritual material that you can use the right way or the wrong way. So if you think like a snake, you will use the anointing like a snake. Just like Lucifer chose to do, to manifest the anointing like a snake. And he was in the Holy of Holies. He was given the position of the covering cherub. The Bible tells us that. He had a very powerful faith, but his faith was corrupt. So we too have the capacity to have faith. The question is our faith the right kind of faith or the wrong kind of faith? The biggest idol that man has is the idol called I. So if you build an idol called I, using the anointings that God gives you and the giftings that God gives you, how on earth can you be a prophet of the Lord? How on earth can you be a son unto the Lord? How on earth can you be a vessel of the Lord? It cannot happen. But just because you have the anointing, just because you have the gifting, doesn't mean you are a vessel of the Lord. It does not follow like that. You are only a vessel of the Lord to the extent in which you manifest the testimony of Jesus. It's so important to understand that. That is the prophetic essence. It is because people prophesy and communicate the word of God in their own whims and fancies that the church of Jesus Christ is so divided and so weak. We have one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one Spirit. We belong to one Father. One baptism, one Lord, one faith. How can we all have one faith unless that faith was defined in Jesus Christ? Why else does the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith? Why should Jesus author it and why should Jesus finish it? Because it is entirely of Him. It is the faith of God given to you through Him. That is the prophetic essence. So if you need a character, that character is in Jesus Christ. It is pointless you and I saying that we need a good character because none of us knows what a good character is. You don't have it, I don't have it either. We may be relative to each other better than each other. It doesn't mean a thing. The only one who has the right character is the character that is of God. And Jesus Christ came to describe the character because the human race needs the right character. And the right character is the very essence of the prophetic. Amen. Let me show you a verse. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 30. John chapter 5, verse 30. This is Jesus describing how He functions. And He says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will. That is the essence. For us to be a prophetic people, we must seek to manifest the will of God. Now, this is something you grow into. Now, there was a little bit of teaching that we did on the mystery of God's will. And we said that the mystery of God's will is not something to be terrified of. The mystery of God's will is something you grow into. And you will enjoy the mystery, the reality of God's will. Because there is a statement in the prophets that says that you will delight in the fear of the Lord. Delight is ecstasy. Now our mind cannot comprehend it because our mind thinks that having a party is having delight. We are caught in the party syndrome. And if we don't have a party, we don't know what it means to delight. It never occurs to you that when the party is over, the delight that we supposedly have also disappears. Or when you get up from the party after with a hangover, the delight is about the furthest thing from your mind. So the delight in the fear of the Lord is part of the mystery of Christ. Why did Jesus say, I have no desire of doing something on my own initiative? Because He enjoyed doing what God gave Him. It brought Him pleasure. It gave him a sense of fulfillment. It gave him a sense of destiny. And he came to describe that for us. That is what is in the testimony of Jesus. That is what is in the fullness of Jesus Christ. So we need to discover that because we know nothing of that. We know nothing of that. We don't think that coming to church can open to us an enjoyable experience of God. Many of us just tolerate it. But the Bible says that you can love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now you can't discover that reality anywhere else. You can't love your husband with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can't even love yourself with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You cannot love your sport with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because if you did, when you see your team lose, you will not be filled with sorrow. Because it would be the sport that will give you fulfillment. It's a lie. So the guy thinks that he can find out of a bottle of whiskey the contentment of his heart. But God says, in him, if you come to know him, you can have a delight that will capture all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 6, God says, I will circumcise your heart so that you will love me with all of your heart and all of your soul, so that you will live. What is he saying? You can only live if you love me. And I have to make you love me. Now who loved God totally and completely? Jesus Christ. Who else knows such a reality? No one else. Was it tested? Yes, it was tested. How was it tested? It was put through the cross. It was not just simply said. It was not just simply some nice words written in a book. It was manifested by testimony. And God says, why don't you receive my testimony, which is the spirit of prophecy? I will bring into you the spirit and life of Jesus. I will make you enjoy things that you never thought you will enjoy. Before I was born again, I used to laugh at Christians because I thought they were a bunch of idiots. Only an idiot was a Christian. I mean, who else would want to be a Christian? Now today, the whole role has been changed upside down. Now what happened? What happened was that something of Jesus Christ was made manifest in me to change my entire perspective of life, change my nature, change everything that I thought was real. A new reality described in the spirit and life of Jesus was made manifest in me. That is the prophetic being fulfilled, guys. When the seed of Christ was planted inside of you, what dramatic changes took place when you were born again? That is a prophetic picture of Christian growth. But because we present the word of God by the letter of the word, that spiritual reality, the spiritual dynamics of the word are not being released to us. Why? Because we never sit down and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us the word of God. We go and learn Greek and Hebrew and we think that because we know Greek and Hebrew, we know the scriptures. This is what Jesus told the Pharisees, all right? He said, you search the word of God. Verse 39, chapter 5 of John. John chapter 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying the scriptures bear witness of me. If you cannot see me in the scriptures, you don't know anything about the scriptures. That's what he was trying to tell these guys. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. What is he saying? If you don't come to me, you have no life. So if we as Christians can't communicate Jesus Christ, we cannot manifest anything of life. If you as a minister, whatever may be your gifting, whatever may be your calling, if you don't communicate Jesus Christ from your heart, no life is being manifested. People may respond to good music and people may respond to the anointing. But the anointing does not save people, brother. It is Jesus Christ who saves people. Do you understand the difference? That's why you can go into an anointed service and Wednesday morning, you are high and dry. Why? Because the anointing has worn away. And you've come back to Mother Earth again. The anointing is meant to manifest the anointed one. The anointed one is the one who saves. It is Christ who saves, not the anointing. Yes, Christ manifests the anointing, but the anointing cannot change lives. Only Christ can change lives. So Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. Because if Christ is not informed in you, nothing has changed, brother. All you have done is you've experienced the anointing. That's all. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Right? It's like Saul being under the prophets, right? You read that? And he started prophesying. It didn't change the fact that he was a snake. Hello. He didn't change the fact that he was a snake. There was a school of prophets and they were prophesying and they were praising the Lord, and he just went under the banner of the anointing and he also started prophesying. Nothing changed in his life. Verse 22 and 23. And he, the Father, put all things under his feet, that is Jesus' feet, and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church. If Jesus is the head, the church is blessed with every blessing in the heavenly places. That is its potential. Take Jesus out and such a reality does not exist. So what is the church? Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So what is Paul saying? The only definition of us being the body of Christ is if the fullness of Jesus Christ is manifested in us. And the fullness of Jesus Christ is designed prophetically to fill all in all. Are you with me? Yeah? The fullness of Jesus Christ is designed to fill all in all. The fullness of Jesus Christ is designed to describe you and me as members of the body of Christ. Amen? All right, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 10. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill how many things? All things. Who are we talking about? We are talking about Jesus Christ. So if Jesus Christ is to fill all things, then everything that we do in the Christian church must communicate him, correct or not? Hello. It is the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy. It is not the testimony of Elijah that is the spirit of prophecy. Do you understand that? So if I come and tell you a principle and tell you, brother, you must be a good guy, and I tell you all about being good, it means nothing to you unless I can relate it and give it to you in Jesus Christ, because you don't know what the meaning of the word good is. Neither do I. It's a mystery. The word love. Where do we find that word love? Is it in Greek? Is it in Hebrew? Is it in the English language? Is it in the heart of man? So you are a mother who loves your daughters, or you love your sons. So when you don't give them what is right for them, is that love or is that corruption? When you differentiate between your children, is that love or is that corruption? Yet we call it love. I love my son in this way. I love my daughter in this way. My son is so smart. He's always getting A's. My daughter is a bit slow. Is that love or is that corruption? Hello? Is that love or is that corruption? God looks at you and me. You may be working on the street. I may be senior pastor. There is no difference in God's eyes to the two of us. Because his love for us is the same love, because it is described in the same blood that has been shed in the same way for you and for me. Now, who has got love? A well-to-do person comes to church and a not-so-well-to-do person comes to church. Who do you think human beings will recognize? So what is love? Do we know anything about that love that will see both of them the same way? We don't possess such a reality, brother, because we all are on a what? What can we benefit from something kind of relationship, right? So if we can get something from somebody, then we are good friends with them. Or if the brother that we can get more benefits out of, he is the brother we love more. The brother who is a letdown, we don't love him so much. He is a thorn in the flesh. He is someone we would like to forget. So what is love? We don't know anything about it. That's why Jesus had to come, because that word love had to be described in Jesus Christ. Amen. So the prophetic essence, is the word love a prophetic word? Deeply prophetic. Why is it prophetic? Because you and I need it. We need it in every little bit of our being. Our thoughts need it. Our attitudes need it. Our thinking needs it. Do we need wisdom? Is wisdom a prophetic word? Deeply prophetic. So let's look at a verse. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 2 and 3. I'm going to leave the first line out and I'm going to pick the second line. Being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Not some of the treasures, all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in the Father and the Son. It is through the Son that the Father is revealed. So all the treasures of the Father's heart are open to us through the Son. So if we talk about the prophetic and we don't relate it to Jesus Christ, we are bringing nothing of the prophetic forth. We are just bringing the prophetic forth in the flesh of men. Can you understand that? It's so important for us to understand this, because so much of what we do is in the flesh. We speak of feel-good Christianity, a comfortable Christianity. The world shakes, people die, and suddenly we realize that we are not living in a comfortable reality. We need to know this Jesus, because he is the difference between death and destruction, death and life. He is the assurance of the future. And as this verse says, the mystery of the Father, the mystery of Jesus Christ. Yeah, the mystery of the Father and the mystery of Jesus Christ. Right. The mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Verse 27 of chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christ in you, the hope of glory, is a mystery. It is not an intellectual reality. What are we trying to say today, guys? That the things that are hidden in Christ, the real prophetic, is a mystery. The real prophetic is not just simply speaking what you like to speak into people's lives. It has to be manifested from something that God has brought alive in you in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm trying to get through to you. So when people come and prophesy into your life, you should understand where this guy is coming from. Don't just respond to everything that sounds prophetic. Just because somebody talks about something being open to you in the future doesn't mean it is of God. You have to be able to distinguish between what is of God and what is not of God. And that which is not manifested in Christ Jesus is not of God. It's not just a question of having a ministry. What is that ministry? Who defines that ministry? Who is the prophet? Who is the apostle? Who is the pastor? Who is the one who operated in healing? Who is the one who raised the dead? Who is the one who stopped the storms? Who is the one who paid his taxes by catching fish? Can you catch that? It is Jesus Christ. And if we are going to be what God wants us to be, it has to be out of a revelation of Jesus within us. So you want to be a pastor, it has to come out of a revelation of Jesus in your heart. He is the shepherd. Only He knows how the shepherd are to be looked after through your life, because He is the one who is calling you. So you want to be a prophet. It is not just being inspired. Inspired by whom? Inspired for what purpose? Inspired on what basis? Can you see that? So that's why we pray in tongues, so that Christ can be revealed. But so many of us just pray in tongues so that we can operate the gift. Operate the gift in whose name, brother? Operate the gift for whose glory? Do you understand? Any gift can be used the right way or the wrong way. Just like you have a mind and you can use that mind the right way or the wrong way. You don't have to be a genius to understand that. So what's the difference between with spiritual gifts? What makes you think that just because the gift was given by God, you will apply it rightly? So we say, oh, but I prayed. So in whose name did you pray? For whose glory did you pray? To see whose glory did you pray? Why did you pray? Basic questions. We talk about Christian maturity. We talk about 2005 being a year of abundance. Why did the revivals of the past stop? Because the name of Jesus was no longer being glorified. The name of men were being glorified. The agendas of men came into the fore. They were no longer interested in what God was doing. They were interested in how big their church would become, how big their ministry would become, how big their personal influence will become. And the revival stopped. So what's happened in Brownsville now? How many people are rich in Jesus Christ? So what happened to the Toronto blessings? So how many people in Toronto are full of the Holy Spirit and are talking about the testimony of Jesus? Did the Spirit of God come? Yes, He did. But Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of God, comes, He will take of mine and He will disclose it to you. But people are not interested in what Jesus brings. They are interested in what they can do with the anointing that the Holy Spirit brings. And repeatedly this has gone over church history. The revival comes and the revival dies. People are touched for a few days, a few months, maybe a couple of years. And then everything dies. Is your God a God of death or a God of life? Basic questions we need to ask. Because many of us are praying for revival. Revival based on what, brother? The Holy Spirit, come and heal me. Okay. What happens after the healing? How many people who got healed from cancer are in church today alive to Jesus Christ? Oh, brother. It's wonderful to see the stadiums full of crutches. But what happens to all those guys who got healed? The church is filled, the pastor is happy. We have big budgets, we can do big ministries. But who is growing in Jesus Christ? Do we measure that at all? Are we even interested in measuring that? And if the name of Jesus is not manifested in a human heart, that person will die. It's only a question of time. The key is this. I think that in the fullness of Jesus Christ, there will be an abiding revival. It will be a growing revival. It will be a revival that will transform lives. It will be a revival that will transform minds. It will be a revival that will transform lifestyles. It will manifest with power, but it will always be testified with a life that is lived in the name of Jesus. What is so important about the name of Jesus? Because Jesus himself said, if you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you. It will be done for you. That's what you and I are called to become. Vessels of anything that God has. Powerful. Very powerful. That is what revival is meant to bring. Not merely repentance, but to bring dramatic change. To make us real vessels of a real God. What is the Christian message all about? Today's death toll read 127,000 people. Just like that, gone. But do you know more than that die every day? What is the answer to that death? Only one name, Jesus Christ. It is not about a big ministry. It is not about doing this and doing that. It's about communicating Him. So we have a big meeting. We have a big revival. We have revival meetings. People say, I do to the Lord. What happens after that? Where is the teaching to bring the church to maturity? Yes, when you are born again, it feels good, it's wonderful, the joy of the Lord is there, you go for the meetings. But what do we teach? We teach the Christian doctrines. The word of the letter. Why? Because the person who is teaching it is no longer alive to the Lord, he is alive to the doctrine. And if he spews out the doctrines, people are going to be fine and dandy. No, they are not. People need to be brought into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes? Can you understand that? Remember me, says the Lord. Remember me, says the Lord. The fullness of Jesus Christ. His fullness is to fill all in all. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. New King James Bible. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. So what is the essence of the Christian faith? The revelation of Jesus. Why the revelation of Jesus? Because without the revelation of Jesus, you cannot touch the heart of God. You can talk about God, but you cannot touch the heart of God, because only through the Son can you come to the Father. I didn't say so. Jesus Christ said so. So do you know the Father? Do you know the Father? If you don't know the Father, it is because you don't know the Son. And if you know the Father and the Son, at what level do you know Him? Don't you want to go further than that? Basic questions. Because the prophetic is all tied to God Himself. I am the Alpha and the Omega. What does that mean, guys? Everything begins with me and everything is brought to fulfillment by me. That's what it means. When Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, what is he trying to say? He's not saying that he's the end of all things, but what he's trying to say, that he's the beginning, and then there he will bring it to fruition. He will bring it to fulfillment, and then there will be other beginnings, and there will be other things he will bring to fruition. It's a continual totality in and by and through him. So seek him. seek Him. What is the essence of prayer? Realizing what God has given you in the name of Jesus. Because, brother, the new car, when it comes, you can say, God has blessed me. That new car will become an old car. That new job will become another boring job one day. 9 times out of 10. But the important thing is, if you have learned how to draw something from God, that is the abiding. That is the skill that never ends. That is the skill that continues to grow from generation to generation. And it's powerful. You are a doctor, and a patient comes to you, and God shows you an x-ray of that person's inside. He takes you in that vision into that person's inside. He gives you a diagnosis. What are you practicing? You're practicing medicine. What's the Lord doing? He's showing you how to practice medicine by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. That's the difference. Why are these things not being tapped? Because we don't think of these things. We say, oh my goodness, let me just go through and work hard and hard and harder. And God says, is that all you can do? Work harder. Huh? What I can give you at the speed of thought, you want to work harder for years, you will have to do. And even after those years of studying and those string of degrees, you will still not understand what I just showed you in virtually in an instant through a vision. All this knowledge is available to the Christian church, and we're not drawing upon it. Why? Because we don't understand the essence of the prophetic. The essence of the prophetic is the fullness of Jesus Christ. That vision has to be seen in the spirit and life of Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to train us. There has to be a desire to see it in the spirit and life of Jesus. Not just a desire to see a vision. Can you catch that? You're going to have a baby. It's not just a question of having a baby. What is it that you as father and mother are speaking into that baby's life? You have the word in your mouth. You have the word in your heart. You say you love this baby. What more can you give this baby than the word of God? Because the word of God stands forever. I do not know of anything else that stands forever. But many people just pour emotional love over their children and think they are blessing their children. That's nothing. Huh? That's nothing. But for you to speak the right words over your children, you also have to grow in the Lord. If you don't grow in the Lord, what level are you going to release the word? It follows. Oh Lord, bless my generations. For the next 1,000 generations, may we stand before you. Very nice. Sounds great stuff, guys. But Lord, don't make me come after you. I just want to live the life I want to live. Don't bother me with coming after you. I'm not interested in that. I just want a comfortable life, Lord, where you just give me things when I need them and when I want them. And when I feel like it, I will thank you. When I get into trouble, Lord, you just come and bail me out. And what a wonderful relationship we will have. You know what's wrong with that prayer or that thought form? You are of no good to anybody else except yourself. That's all you're looking for. And selfishness is a denial of God. Why are you and I created to bless the nations? Why are you and I called sons of God to bless the nations? Why are you called a prophetic people? To bless the nations, to bring forth what is in the heart of God that is designed to be brought forth through you. Each one of us is a prophetic vessel. There is an immensity of the prophetic word that God has designed into your life and my life. That's why the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because of that prophetic word that stands over your specific life. That's why Jesus came and shed his blood for you, because of the prophetic word that stands in the Father's heart behind your life.
That's why Psalm 139 verse 17 says that the sum total of God's thoughts over your life are vast. Prophetic. Vast. For God to have vast thoughts, that's a whole universe of reality. For you and me to have vast thoughts, I may have three times more than you, but that's about it. But God has vast thoughts. Are you listening to that? So your job is to discover what God has for you. But if you keep on responding to the darkness that is afflicting you, then all you will see in darkness is more darkness. Darkness cannot give light. Darkness is by definition the absolute absence of light. God is light. Light comes from God. Light does not come from any other source. Praise the Lord. So the prophetic. You are a morning star, brother. What does that mean? You are by definition an expression of the light that is of God. It's to be built and developed in you, and it's to shine through you. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, Paul writes. Don't forget the in Christ Jesus. Without the in Christ Jesus, that blessing does not exist. That prophetic word has got no meaning. It is like all the prophets in the Old Testament. All the promises, you shall be the head and not the tail. You alone shall be above and not beneath. But all of those words can only be brought to life in the testimony of Jesus. So the essence of the prophetic is the testimony of Jesus, the fullness of Christ that is filled, to fill all in all. Again, I will remind you from John 1:16. For of his fullness we have all received. In the will of God it has been given. If you are not drawing from the fullness of Jesus Christ, it is because of the exercise of your own free will. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. And thank God we are not under the law, brother. Because the law will put all of us to death. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Realized. It's not hard, it's a realization. But you must be willing to give your time, you must be willing to pray the mystery. You must be willing to ask God, you must be willing to seek. And he will give it to you in time. You know, just because you work in a secular job doesn't mean that all these things are not available to you. Why don't you learn how to work in the brilliance of God? If you are a student, why don't you learn how to study in the mind of Christ? Why don't you learn how to study with the wisdom that comes from God? He can make you see things that others cannot see. You will be the head and not the tail. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise. We thank you that we are a prophetic people. We thank you for the prophetic essence that is available to us by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We are creatures of fulfillment. The year 2005 has been given to us so that we can discover a new measure of fulfillment in our lives. Enable us to understand that the fulfillment that remains, the fulfillment that is abiding, is the fulfillment that comes in the spirit and life of Jesus, the fulfillment that is established in the faith of Jesus, the fulfillment that is brought to fulfillment in the love of Jesus. All that comes into us in the testimony of Jesus. He is the treasure of your heart. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the true vine. We are his branches. And we are called to bear fruitfulness by being branches of the vine. He is the door. And as we learn how to go in and out through that door that is of him, we will find pasture, Lord. We will find an abundance. He is the resurrection and the life. The power of the resurrection. The surpassing greatness of your power towards us who believe in him. That power is made manifest to us, Lord. We pray that you will bless us, Lord, with an understanding, O God, of how crucial it is to learn how to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. To learn how to do all things in the reality that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That on the basis of the name of Jesus, we are blessed. And we are blessed into the eternal future. So as we walk into the name of Jesus, as we receive of the testimony of Jesus, those blessings are endless, Lord. So bless us that we will become a blessing. Remove the selfish agendas, the self-centered agendas, the prideful ways, the self-seeking ways, and enable us, O God, to desire to be a blessing for your name's sake, Father. By your Spirit in Jesus' name, bless us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for our communion passage. Verse 6 and verse 7. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. If you have a New King James Bible, it uses the term "in Christ Jesus." The light of the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, the face of Jesus Christ is a revealed reality. It is not looking at a picture of Jesus Christ or just merely seeing the face of Jesus in a vision. God is talking about a revealed reality of the face of Jesus Christ. And he says, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, which is actually infinite. If you understand that God is light, and you understand that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is the highest expression of that light, you understand that that light is infinite. And God is telling us by the Holy Spirit that that light is in the face of Jesus Christ. What is it saying? That light becomes meaningful to you through the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus enables you to see the face of Jesus. You know, how Jesus has touched your life is how you see him. Maybe he healed you from cancer. You see him in a certain way because he healed you from cancer. Maybe he delivered you from alcoholism, like it happened to me. I see him in that light. I became a Christian having so many flaws in my character and my nature, so many bad habits, crippling bad habits. And as God delivered me from those bad habits, I saw Jesus in the light of that. His face to me is a face that has delivered me from all of those things. Some of you have been, at least one or two of you have been in death's bed, and Jesus touched your life. Some of you, your whole life was going haywire, just was being torn apart. Your marriage was going to pieces. And God put it all back together. You see Jesus. You see the face of Jesus in that reality. But God is trying to tell you, but what stands in the face of Jesus is actually infinite. That's what this verse is saying. That's why it is called a mystery. It is beyond your intellect. Your heart has to grow to realize this reality. Only your heart can see such a face of Jesus. Let's read that. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. See, the purpose of God is always to give us. He's not trying to shortchange anybody. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And what is he saying? In you I will manifest this light. Peter calls it a morning star. He calls it the prophetic word. In the book of Malachi, it is called the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. The psalmist writes, in your light, I see light. The psalmist writes that one day my righteousness will be as the noonday light. Psalm 37, I'm paraphrasing, but it's there, verses 4 to 6. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves, guys. Not of ourselves. Not of ourselves. Aren't you tired of just working and working and working and working and trying your best? Aren't you sick and tired of that? Is there something wrong with you? You want to continue like that? Are you born to be a slave? When God says, I want you to live like a king. But to live like a king, you must know the king. Huh? Is this what we want to bequeath to our children, your parents? Don't you think you must open a new reality? You know, anything that is revealed of God in your heart, you can hand it down to your generations. Deuteronomy 29:29. Please turn to that. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever. Forever, guys. You can work as hard as you want and you can be as successful as you want. Nothing you earn in your own flesh will stand forever. It won't even begin to stand forever. But God is telling you that everything that is brought to light inside of you, revelation is light made manifest. And that light manifests in wisdom, it manifests in knowledge, it manifests with understanding, it manifests with power. It manifests with faith. And it says at the end of it all that we may observe all the words of this law. It'll come forth as the revelation grows in you. How hard it is it to be a Christian, guys? We have made it hard because we have reduced the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to our level. That's why we are scrounging around like chickens chasing after worms instead of being eagles soaring in the winds of the Spirit. We have reduced it to our level. We have taken the word of God and reduced it to our mediocrity. That the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of yourselves. That's what communion is all about, a Passover. That Passover is a crystallized manifestation of power, guys. But power for what? Power for the sake of power means nothing. If you look at electrical power, it is channeled into some kind of an implement. It has got a purpose. Without the purpose, of what use is the power? We want power. And God says, for what? What do you want to become? I have given you a plan, my plan. Can you have a better plan than me? The plan I have for you is a Passover. It's a plan from generation to generation. It's a plan devised in my surpassing greatness of power. It is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ that is to be released into your heart. And Jesus says, remember me. The whole prophetic is tied to two words, remember me. Can't we understand that simple thing? So much has been given. But so much is expected, guys. Will you have the courage? Where can you find the courage? You can find the courage of the lamb. You can find the courage of the lamb, a lion. It's all there. It's part of the mystery of Christ. It starts with the day of small beginnings. But what starts with small beginnings will grow. It's powerful. Praise the Lord. When we come back with the Lord Jesus Christ to planet Earth, we will come back as reigning kings. We will be given spheres of influence according to what we have realized in Jesus Christ. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. Everything will be defined according to the reality of the glory of Jesus in our own hearts. When we come back to Earth, we will be a married people. Married to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Amen. So think carefully. two hearts. What is marriage? Two hearts becoming one flesh, right? That's how Scripture defines it. The flesh is of the flesh of the Lamb. It cannot be any other kind of flesh. Praise the Lord. That's the fullness of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Precious and Holy Father, we stand before you as a people with immense potential. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is in the face of Jesus Christ. And as that revelation of Jesus manifests in our heart, we are opened to the infinite. The infinite potentials of the kind intentions of your will. We are a chosen people. We are sons of God. We are a royal priesthood of the order of Melchizedek, an everlasting priesthood, Father. A priesthood that will know no end. A priesthood built grace upon grace. A priesthood established by the oath that comes after the law. And so we thank you that as we partake of this Holy Communion, we partake of the glory of your grace. And we thank you that the glory of your grace is given to us in the fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you that your word says that of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. We thank you for this prophetic potential that is given to us in spite of the fact that none of us deserves it. None of us has the capacity, O God, to realize anything of it, Lord. But all of it will be manifested to us as we fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, as we remember him in the lives that we live. So bless and sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit the unveiling of the fullness of him who is to fill all in all. We ask this, we pray this, that in these prophetic elements of bread and wine will be manifested, O God, the substance and the witness of a new being. Each one of us, Lord, in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you, we bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as you listen to the word of God, you'll begin to understand how much God loves us. And God's love for us is not a romance. It is not a romantic idea. It is a purposeful reality. It's a reality of immense passion. The immensity of his light and his life. I can't describe it. I mean, it's beyond my intelligence. But it blows my mind that it is meant to be manifested in people like you and me. That is incredible. I hope you can see. We all see in part, and we prophesy in part. But one day, the partial will be done away with, and one day we will see clearly. I'm waiting to discover what God has for me. I'm excited about it. I'm 53 years old. I hope you young people have got 1/10 of that excitement in your heart. Some of you guys look so bored. You haven't even started life. Maybe you need to go through valleys before you understand what Jesus Christ has given to you. But whatever it is, you don't have to break a leg to find out it is painful, guys. There are smarter ways of living. You can watch the older generation. You can ask simple questions as to why is my grandfather sitting there and looking as if there is nothing in his life. Hello? Why does he look so miserable and why does he look so empty? I heard that he was a very rich man once. I heard that he was a very successful man once. What does that tell you, brother? Be smart. You're given eyes to see, see. Stand outside a bus stop and watch the people passing by. Look at their eyes, look at their faces. What does it tell you? that life is meaningful or life is a disaster. Now, Jesus Christ is the only one who says you can live a different life. Nobody else says that, guys. Other people say it's an illusion, so you know it's a real con job. So if it's an illusion, then it's okay. You just carry on conning yourself that you will be rebirthed and rebirthed and rebirthed. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Precious and holy Father, we are people you have loved. And you demonstrated that love through sacrifice, not by simply writing a book, not by simply sitting on a throne of the universe, surrounded by your myriad of angels, and simply speaking for things, Lord. No, you came down on our terms, and you came and demonstrated a witness and a testimony that is our inheritance and our possession. You manifested the entire light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. When we see the face on the cross, when you see the face that spoke out those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. You opened a whole new universe of reality to us. And on those words stand every blessing in the heavenly places. Sometimes we forget, Lord, that the glory of God comes to us through a cross. That as the angels watched, Lord, they watched the God whom they worshipped pay a price for man that nobody else could pay. Express a witness for man that nobody else would have been willing to give. And we thank you, Lord, that in that witness you gave us a new tomorrow. In that witness you have blessed us. In the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As we partake of the bread, the substance of this bread, Lord, in prophetic terms, is what makes us see the face of Jesus, Lord. It makes the construct of his face on our hearts. It's a spiritual mystery. The human mind can't understand it, but our hearts can understand it because our hearts have eaten of his flesh, Lord. And we can see him. We thank you for what we are able to see, but we want to see more, Father. We want the entire body of Christ to see more, much more, Lord. We ask this, we pray this.